Cutler drops to throw from center, steps up into the pocket. He's under pressure, gets hit, and Austin Lane got him! Back at the 41-yard line. First sack of the season for big Austin Lane.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach, straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show. On a Monday night, I'm Brian Sexton, joined by the head coach. Joe Fortunato is here as well. In this quick programming note, Jeff Loggeman is en route to CBS 47. And right after our program this evening, tune in and watch Jaguars All Access. Tonight's special guest will be Paul Posluszny. He's probably the perfect guy to describe a difficult loss, isn't he? Just a stand-up guy in and out of the locker room.
He is. He's a professional in all aspects of the game. And, you know, he's playing well for us right now.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm obviously disappointed and frustrated with where we're sitting right now going into the bye, but it is what it is, and we've got to
– You can't sit too long. And
no, we got to – just like a game when we're behind, we've got to find a way to climb back into it. You know, there is some football still to play.
And 11 games.
And we're behind, and we got to really just – we can't – do anything but win one and then see where we go from there.
And so, it's worth noting, you started 1-4 in Buffalo your first year?
I did,
and
yes.
I think it was 3-6 at one point, and it evolved into 9-7. So you've been down this road of a difficult beginning.
We have. You know, I hate to say I've been in this position before, but I have. And, you know, the end result was good. We ended up winning 9 of the next 11 games after starting 0-4. And that was a lot of that was because of teams sticking together, us keeping what we believed what we were doing was right, not being influenced by outside sources, which is hard to do when you're sitting here in this position. And I think we have a locker room that'll be like that. Obviously, it doesn't mean it's going to happen the same way as 2004. But you know, we did not come out of the gates on fire. But at that one point, you know, we won 6 in a row. And still some of those scoring, we scored more points even than the Kelly era there with the red gun. And so, a lot of things happened for us. Once we started doing things and the ball was going our way and we were making some positive things happen and not really beating ourselves with penalties and turnover, a lot of things changed that allowed us to win those games, and that's what we're looking for here.
Is it too early to ask you if you have a sense of how your locker room will respond to this? I mean, there were some really disappointed guys in there yesterday. I mean, really down.
Yeah, I know they were. I visited with each guy after the game in his locker, and I just told them again, I appreciate the effort and that they've put out to this point. That stick together. This is a time to find out about who we are and how we can respond to the situation we put ourselves in. It's basically what you earn. This is what we've earned. 1-4. And we have an opportunity. You know, the thing these guys, I think, see is we have flashed some good football, and it just hasn't been for 60 minutes. And yesterday was, you know, even looking at the game yesterday, with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, the score, they just kicked a field goal to go up 6-3. And, you know, we just, for some reason, imploded offensively when we came out with a penalty and an interception for a touchdown, and from that it just it went downhill. And we have to learn, you know, okay, even if there is a negative play, we've got to be able to overcome it.
Right. When you look at difficult situations, you look to some of your leaders to help you work through it. Are leaders made in times like this, or do you look to establish leaders that are already in the locker room? Do you think you have enough of them?
I think it's both. I mean, I think we already have. We know who they are. One of them we already talked about with Posluszny.
You bet.
And I think situations like this may draw some more guys out to see where they stand. It's, you find out a lot about people in situations like this. And, you know, unfortunately we're in this, but maybe it'll be a positive about some of the players we have in that locker room.
Well, there's always the chance that you this thing gets running and this becomes a chapter. Hey, do you remember when? You know, when you're sitting there looking up and feeling bad and now you're feeling good.
Right.
It's happened around here before.
Right. No, I mean, I can use 0-4 as an example. Here we are, 0-4, and everybody in the world is, you know, mad at each other and frustrated outside the building, and we're clinging together inside, just knowing that we're closer than people are saying we are. And then we're in week 16 playing the Steelers to go to the playoffs, you know, and, you know, we lost that game, I think, 27-24. But this way we started and the way we ended, we felt very confident in what we were doing, regardless of how we started the year. And, you know, you'd like it to end that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to certainly fight.
That's up to you.
Yeah, we're certainly going to try to fight to have that kind of ending.
All right, 11 games remain, folks, and we got a lot of football to talk about. Let's frame it a little bit different when we come back from this break. Let me ask you a couple questions about, you know, what we saw in the spring and where some of those things have evolved since then, Coach. Until we come back from this break, folks, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, a proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, when you're looking for department store style and discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. Brian Sexton back with the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey, coach. You know, I guess the confusing part for me is I know what I saw in the OTAs, and I know what I saw in training camp, and I know what I saw in the preseason. You know, we're talking about having more players. I think you have a better coaching staff who is working hard with them. And we saw the makings. We saw it early in the ball game in Minnesota. And I think that's the part where I wonder, you know, what isn't translating over in these, you know, last two games? Where has that team not translated to the field?
I think we've let some of the negative things that have happened affect us, and we won't let them go. And
it's like a domino effect.
It is like a domino effect. And it's not, you know, to have a negative play even on offense, that one play affects your team. But the one thing we did, like you said, in the preseason, even in Minnesota, you know, we were able to respond in, with a positive way to come back and win. I kept using the word, we didn't flinch. Well, right. I think we have flinched as of late, and you know, that's a natural reaction, and that's something we've got to get over. We know we're capable of doing it. You saw the Minnesota game. The score that we had with Cecil for the touchdown, and then within minutes, we lose a game, and those things are emotional letdowns. That you know, we got to have some really good things happen for us, and we got to make some plays that are good for it. And I think the more good things that we do as a team, it'll start to come together. But we got to create more things to happen. You know, us as coaches,
right?
And then when they are there to happen, we got to make them happen. You know, we had. Tip balls that we had a chance for interception that would have taken points off the board. We had go routes that Devin Hester caught with his fingertips.
I was just about to go there.
And we were not.
Right.
You know, they hit a go route standing up to Brandon Marshall for a touchdown. We need to hit those go routes to Cecil Shorts where he's catching and running. Those are the things that other teams are doing and we're not. And I think, you know, obviously the pluses and the positives that those things, the results will help us go in the direction we want to go, but right now we're just not hitting them, and I can't. And that's really for five games. That's
right.
That's through all five games. We just have not been consistent, and our players know that. I mean, they see that. That's where I've used a comment. We're closer than people are saying, and I think they realize that too because we have done it. It's not like we open up the first drive of the Bears game and we got beat 41-3 from drive one through drive 12. It was, you know, for some reason the landslide happened, you know.
With the pick six.
With the pick six. And it is a frustrating process. And I think we just need to learn from some of those bad experiences we're having to how to overcome them.
You know, because when I went back, and I didn't review the tape like a Jeff Loggeman or Tony Boselli does, but I went back in my mind and I went, you know, from quarter to quarter and even series to series, and I thought, well, was there a moment where the offensive line absolutely was, you know, a sieve, where everything came through? No, there really wasn't. You know, and you can speak more to who played well and if there was a problem there. I thought, were there a lot of drop balls? Well, there were maybe a few here and there, but it wasn't like it had been in previous weeks.
In our first 11 plays, we had three drop balls.
Okay.
I mean, that's in one of them, you know, and again, they're not trying to drop it, but
right.
they dropped it. And Maurice had one on third down.
You're right. After the pick.
I'm not even sure he's going to get a first down, but I know he's going to put us in Scobie range. So that's a drop that we right. you know we're going to miss an opportunity for points. And those things are I know the players are frustrated because he knew he had a chance to catch and run, and Maurice said on the sideline, I took my eye off of it. And,
right.
You know, we got to make some of those plays.
Okay, so there were a couple more of those, but even the defense, I thought you got some pressure, not enough, obviously, but there were some plays early on where you were around the quarterback,
right.
and we hadn't seen that against the Bengals. And, you know, then the first quarter, Matt Forte has some big runs, but then you shut him down, you know, until the middle of the third quarter. I mean, he didn't get a big run.
Right, it was relatively even up until the middle of the third quarter.
Statistically on the scoreboard.
Right. Other than us leading third down both offensively and defensively.
Exactly.
The play numbers, the yards.
You're 5 of 9 at half against the number one third down defense, and that had been a particular weakness.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of those are things we have to build off of, no question about it.
But that's where the score just it makes you scratch your head.
The last thing you remember is 41-3
exactly.
and what happened in that last 20 minutes of that game. And I realize that. For fans and ourselves, you know, that's the frustrating thing. But
so do you worry that because of the way that the game ended, that they flinched and it's going to take a lot for you to get them to come out of that? Can you do it or do they have to do it?
Oh, I think we both have to do it. I mean, that's why we have the film. Tomorrow we're going to really dissect this game and show how close we were.
Right.
I mean, when we walked out of that locker room at halftime, I was convinced we were going to win that football game. And
I think most of the people in the stands felt like, well, this is, you know, here we go.
Yeah, and there was just such an energy from that locker room, and there was on the sideline. And we just, you know, we let a negative just take it all out of us. And I think this is a young group. We got a bunch of young guys playing, and that's not an excuse.
No.
That's a fact that we've got to learn some things. And unfortunately, we're taking some lumps early on here that I hope and expect will turn positive at some point.
You know, and some people might say, well, I mean, you're picking on specific plays. I mean, those should be made, but third down and 14, third down and 12, third down and 8 on that drive in which you scored the field goal to tie the ball game. Again, we hadn't seen that kind of efficiency on third down at home in the game. The losses to the Texans and the Bengals, you were, I think you were 3 of 18 on third down, and then
that's
you
right.
know, here you're 3 of 5 after your third drive.
Right. No, and
against
well
the number
executed,
one third down defense, right?
Well executed. Had to overcome some negative things.
You
know, our timing of our penalties were not very good either. I mean, all of them had something to do. We either were in the red zone a couple times, or we were backed up on our own goal line where we had these penalties that just changed the outcomes of the game. You know, even the penalty before the second interception, we had a penalty. Prior to that, or we would not have been in that situation in the first place,
right.
that we would have had to throw the ball. You know, we had a big play to Justin Blackmon on a crossing route that changed the field position.
19-yard gain.
You know, we hit a deep one.
And hold
it. And we got just bad timing. I mean, really bad. Those are things that the Bears are already a tough team.
You bet.
I mean, we got to play your best ball to beat the Bears. But when you got to continually keep, compensating for the mistakes you're making yourself, it's just hard to overcome yourself and the Bears.
Can you take some of those small victories and micromanage them and work with them?
Oh, we will.
To build around, or are they too remote in the game? Okay.
No way. There's you have to show those things.
Because the throw to Mercedes Lewis was threaded between three defenders there on the first down. Now, he had to catch it twice. That's his fault, but that was a great throw.
Yeah, it was. And that was a big first down
to
get us down there. So Mercedes has done some good things for us. We try to get some balls into him later on down there in the red zone, but, you know, we were into it. We had a penalty down there, put us back 15 yards. Those are hard to overcome.
You bet. And then there was the one throw there that Blaine made to the front of the end zone, and I thought, well, Mercedes needed to make a more aggressive play to maybe go and get that one. You know, that possibility was there for him.
We just want to give them a chance
right.
to make the catch.
Go get
and that's all we're asking for is just a chance.
All right, folks, we need to take a break. We'll come back more with the head coach. You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show on Jaguars Radio. Well, you could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Brian Sexton back more with the head coach of the Jaguars. Looking forward to 2 weeks now before you play again, and obviously it's tough to go in with a loss, especially a difficult loss, but what's your game plan for this week? And what do you hope to get done in a week in which you basically get ready by looking at yourself?
Really, that's what we're doing. We're self-scouting ourselves. Our coaches are, in all phases, are kind of looking at areas that we need to address. The red zone, obviously, third down has been a problem both offensively and defensively. Better yesterday. Better defensively for the last couple weeks on third down. Things like that. Looking at our schemes again, and then our personnel, and then what we're devising for the game plan. So there's going to be a lot to look at, and we're going to get a couple days of work with the players on the practice field. So we're going to have two good practices because they're going to have Thursday through Sunday off, and we're just going to spend as much time with the fundamentals, and we're going to take actually a step back to see if this will help us take two steps forward when we come back next week to get ready for Oakland.
Philosophically, Coach, and you've been around this game a long time, when you go into the bye week in this situation, do you push harder or do you take a more logical, reasoned approach with your team? Or do you become that old school Bud Grant, hard-nosed football coach?
No, I think, we have an approach. I mean, it's not going to change. I think these guys know we are demanding. But the way it's a positive, demanding style.
Right.
The practices are hard. We demand a lot out of them. We are doing everything we can to cover every little detail. So when we get to games are easier than the way we practice. And that's the way training camp was. And we got to just tackling. That's just something that you don't get to do during a normal week. That's something you can talk about, watch it, practice. It's just with these practices this week, it's a little more a controlled environment because you're not game planning anybody. And it's a little more hands-on coaching this week than the normal game planning week.
Do you pull any of these guys aside individually and work that particular angle with some of these guys, knowing who is a more vocal guy in the locker room or somebody that you want to lead by example? Do you work some seeds?
You do. And you got to be careful sometimes too because some guys just – that's just not their personality, and
right.
You know somebody's not going to be who they aren't if you know, and you can and players will recognize it immediately that it's a false
right. Or do you maybe find a guy who is that way and push a little harder and get him to?
Yeah,
you wait
and see if they're going to do it on their own.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're hoping for.
Are you in favor of these guys getting together, by themselves and
oh,
talking
yeah.
it out? Do you like that approach? Did
yeah.
you as a player?
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We took a lot of pride in what we were doing. And, when you get to a point that you don't need coaches in there to get you ready to go and it's the players, that's when you know you've got the right guys in that locker. I think we have those guys. I think they're doing that already. It's just I think they're already doing it.
Right, right. But this is where you call in all your years of experience being a player and a coach, and it's for those guys because they know what they have to do.
No, they do. They absolutely do.
And they've been
do.
Playing this game since they were peewees.
And then, they take a lot of pride. And I just think this is the best week. This is the good time to and like I said, we may have to take a step back to do some of the basic fundamentals to see if we can play a little better.
Now, to someone who's listening, Coach, who
yeah.
might be emotional and frustrated, which I'm sure there's plenty of them.
Yes.
You don't, and you just said, you stay even. You've got a plan and you stick to it. And yet there are some people out there who go, hey, you've got to change it. I mean, you've got to, if you were yelling before, you got to stop yelling. And if you're not yelling enough, maybe you need to get in there, grill, and be even more towards it.
No, like I said, unfortunately, I've been in this situation before. I've been 1-4. We had an approach. I told the players, at the time we were 0-4. And I told the players, look, there's not a file over here, an 0-4 file that we go to and go, hey, what if we're 0-4? Let's try this. There isn't. There's one file. Okay, it's the same file that we walked into this building and presented it to them, and that's not changing. Because I know, the staff knows, the players know, this is what works, and it's flashed, and it has shown up, but just not for four quarters. And
right.
That's my job. That's our job to get what we can do well for four quarters. I just
stitch
we need
some of that together.
We got to put them together, and we got to do it for four quarters. That's my job to do that. And the only way you can do that is to stick with what you believe in and has worked and has been successful for your career.
Sure.
And I did that, 8 years ago, and it proves right then. I'm not saying I'm doing that here because of that. That's just our philosophy as, sure. as a staff. We all believe that. We got a lot of guys in that staff room that have been around this league for a long time. We have, you guys know the years, 180 some years of experience in
They've
that
all
room.
Seen all kinds of adversity in this league, haven't they?
They have, and they've it's very mixed bunch of guys, but they all, again, put their fist on, we are sticking together, and this is the way we're going to do things, and the players see that.
I was going to say, if the players see that and have the same approach, you should have a really good week on the practice.
Oh, they will see it. I mean, they and it will not be phony. It will definitely, they'll see it, the energy from our guys. We cannot wait to get them back in here.
And then 4 days off, and the CBA mandates that they have 4 consecutive days off. That has got to be a good thing for some of these guys who are a little nicked up, banged up. I mean, you normally would think this is too early for the bye week to come in week 6, but I think right now it's probably a really good thing.
No, I think it is a good time, especially for us. We have been banged up. Even the guys that are back in playing are still somewhat banged up, so we need to get ourselves healthy. It's not halfway through this. I mean, you're talking, counting the preseason, you're about halfway in through the regular grind of an NFL season, so
right.
It's probably the best time to have a bye right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, 2.5 months in, 2.5 months to go.
Right. For us, it's probably better for some of the injuries that we've had, and I think our guys need to get away from it for a little bit. I think they'll, when they come back in here, there'll be a fresh, and that's coaches too. I think the coaches need to take a day and get away and regroup and get their minds right.
All right. We take a break and return with more with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. I love it. Welcome back. The Mike Mularkey Show. Ryan Sexton on a Monday evening, along with the head coach. And we're talking about the Jaguars getting up and over and past that loss. And I think it's important to note, Coach, and the people who are listening right now, they're still stinging probably. 41-3 stinks, but as far as a loss, it might as well be 1-0 because you just pick up and you go on to next.
No, you have to.
You can't dwell on the size of the loss. You just have to pick up and go on.
Yeah, you have to do that. It's just harder when it's a bye. That's the problem. The loss and just the way the last 20 minutes went down. But you do have to get over it, and you have to get ready for the next one. Because it can last if we're not smart about it as coaches and players, the way we handle these next couple weeks, that can be an aftermath of negative things too.
You guys work week to week. I mean, every week you draw up the battle plan and you go battle, right? Or, I mean, if you want to take the war analogy away from it, you know, you study all week and go take the test on Sunday afternoon or Monday night,
right,
or whatever you play. How do you balance the micro, you know, the small picture of week to week against the big picture of what you're trying to do here? Because there's 11 games remaining. It's the first 5 games of your tenure as the head coach of this franchise, and we're trying to turn the ship around and get it righted. You know, a cruise ship takes 3 miles to turn around, by the way.
I didn't know that.
3 miles for a cruise ship to turn around. So you're trying to get this thing turned around and going in the right direction, and you still got to focus week to week, but you still have to have the big picture, don't you?
I think you have to have the big picture. I think what's important is that we recognize we have. We know where we're at. We have earned what we've with the 1-4 record, we've got to earn some wins, and the only way we can do that is we got to improve every week. I mean, that's what good teams do, and when they get down, they don't flinch, and those are things that we just got to get better at, and we got to have some good things, positive things go our way. We got to make some plays that change the game, which are happening against us week in and week out. We got to just do some of those things, and I think that will send us, you know, plus the confidence that it brings with it is amazing,
right?
You know, that we can do it. I mean, right now, you're why can't we kind of mentality.
Speaking of that, you know, Justin Blackmon had some early catches, and that 19-yarder would have pushed him up a bit. I mean, where's his confidence level right now in terms of being a playmaker down the field?
It's getting better and better. He's had 2 good weeks. He really has had 2 good weeks, and he's prepared very well in practice. Not that he didn't before, but it's definitely his sense of urgency has picked up in everything that he's doing, and it's starting to translate to the field. And you know, we got to get him involved more.
Well, it looks like you have the last 2 weeks.
We have,
obviously,
yeah. We got to, you know, we try to get that go route into him. That would have been great play on his part. But those are the kind of things we'd like to see him make down the road.
How about Cecil Shorts? He made some big plays yesterday.
He did. He, you know, Cecil has made some big plays for us. You know, he's been consistent. And he really, he's one of these guys, you don't see anything different about him with the way the score is going, the game's flowing, whatever it is. He's always on the sideline, just prepared to do whatever you ask him to do, and that's the way he approaches practice. The guy is, he'll do whatever is asked and do it 100 miles an hour.
Until LaRon Robinson is ready to come back and play, and I don't guess you know exactly when that's going to be, especially going into your bye week, does Cecil earn more time over there on that left side as the starter?
Well, I think he's, you know, that's what we're going to talk about this week, is we're going to talk about each position. You know, if we need to make any changes, we'll make them. But that's part of this week. That's evaluating our personnel, who can give us our best chances to maybe make some plays. And Cecil's definitely a guy that's going to be a conversation piece when it comes to lining up opposite of Justin.
You know, another guy is Kevin Elliott, who it just seems like the timing's a little bit off between he and Blaine. There was that one play where, you know, the little – it looked like he went down the field to Mike Thomas and he could have just dumped it off. Blaine went for more yardage instead of Kevin, and I'm wondering if there's just a confidence level that has to be built there. Because it seems like he's become a factor in your game plan by necessity, well, but it looks like he might belong out there.
I think for an undrafted free agent, Kevin's got a lot of skills. He's big. He's physical. He loves physical play. He's fast. And, you know, he's come in here and he's improved every week. And he's gotten to play a little more because of Laurent Robinson being down, and he's taken advantage of it. But, you know, he's one of our core special teams guys. I mean, I ask coaches after games, who are they worried about? You know, because I tell the players. I put the players' pictures up every week of opponents, their core guys, and these are the guys. We cannot let them change the game. And I ask our players, are you on their boards? Are you on their video? Is your mugshot up on theirs? And I know Kevin Elliott is up there. Yeah, he's just that kind of force in the special teams. And he'll get more play time, especially with some of the personnel groupings we're using. And just need to hit some of those plays with him.
He's undrafted, I realize. I don't want to put too much pressure on him too early, but do you see, he's a big body.
Yeah.
And the way that Alshon Jeffery uses his body on his touchdown, I mean, he blocked out Rasheen, and he's just so big.
Right.
That, you know, it's tough to get good position even if you're blanketing in coverage. Can Elliott take that kind of a role in the red zone?
He's got that kind of ability.
He's big.
I'll tell you what he's got. He's got leaping ability. He's made some plays in practice that are outstanding that now, I've seen a lot of guys not be able to make. He's got big hands and can snatch the ball out of the air. He's done some good things. I think he's got a good future ahead of him.
All right, we need a break. We'll come back. More with the head coach of the Jaguars and the Mike Mularkey Show, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. You have a couple of days here, and then you go back to work, and we'll save most of the Raiders stuff for next week. But that's a West Coast trip, and those are challenging. We've seen some trips out west not turn out in recent years out here. What's your overall philosophy about going that far west, and how you like to handle that?
Well, I've gone the day before the game, and I've gone 2 days before the game to try to get your body adjusted to the West Coast. And we're going to go out 2 days in advance. We're going to leave on a Friday for the Sunday game. Only because
hopefully it's a Sunday game, right?
We can talk about that in a second. Yeah, that's another logistical thing that may come into play. But I'm just going based on our 4 years in Atlanta. We were very successful on the West Coast, and we always went out 2 days before. I'm just playing off of that. Our guys were more rested and got used to the time clock, and so we're going to do that for no other reason but because of our success. And this game may change, all based on the A's. If the A's come back and beat Detroit in 3 games in Oakland, then our game has a possibility of going to Monday night, which would make it very difficult.
Oh, yeah. Land as the sun's coming up on Tuesday, and you have to hit the ground running.
Well, yeah, and then you get back on a plane and go back to Green Bay. So, yeah. You know, we're looking at all avenues of what we would have to do in case that happened.
What kind of advance notice will the league give you? Would they make a decision as soon as maybe the A's get the home field advantage in a series?
I think that would be a week from today. We would find out. So we're looking at all avenues of what we would do, even maybe staying out there and practicing out there, so we don't have to make that trip back and then fly up to Green Bay just, you know, a short time later.
Yeah, it's a challenge you got.
So we're looking at everything that's the best for us to be prepared to play both of these teams on the road.
And when you go out there to get acclimated, do you stay on East Coast time? So a 1 o'clock kick out there is really 4 o'clock to you?
Yeah, well, once we get out there, the clocks will we're going to be off of their time. But okay. I'll adjust our times, like, you know, 11 o'clock curfew, it'll be 8 o'clock out there.
Yeah.
For the first night, so it's, you know, it's trying to catch them up.
You got a lot of science that you put into
you can't imagine
a trip like that.
How much time goes into all these trips is making sure they're you know, on time and what we need to get done. And
I mean, even down to the idea of rehydrating for players, because being at altitude is a dehydrating experience. So
that's one of the issues of having to go to Oakland, come back, go to Green Bay. It's one of the most dehydrating things you can do is be on an airplane.
Right.
But we try to get the players some for sure water, but we would like them to drink Gatorade or even Pedialyte on the way out. And we pass them around per player one per hour on the plane, so they're purposely hydrating, so they're not going to be, you know, dehydrated, and we force them to drink it.
Right. I mean, there is a lot that goes into this, and moving a team, just moving that many people across the country, the logistics of that.
Right.
Equipment.
And there's a lot of timing.
And getting back and getting everyone going. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And I'm sure that with the thought of moving a game to a Sunday, I mean, you've got to be planning that, moving from a Sunday to a Monday, you've got to be planning that they're going to do it just in case.
Oh, we are. And I'm going through the itinerary because next week would then change all of our practices, the schedule. We would actually gain another day of practice. We have an extra one on Monday. But
right.
If it moves to Monday, we would have an extra one on Wednesday.
Okay.
And, you know, you got to be careful how much you put into the practices for the players. So logistically, it's
challenging.
Very challenging.
You
but,
bet.
You know, that's part of it.
It's the game.
The hard part is the trip home, because let's say we do play on Sunday. I think the plane gets back here at somewhere between 3 and 4 a.m., and Mondays are long days for coaches anyhow. So it's a grind getting back that late, and then you've got to pick right back up and get ready for the next one.
And
so it certainly would help with the win to make that morning go a lot
smoother. Making a nice ride home.
It would.
Something to think about. We'll take a break. Return. More to come with head coach Mike Mularkey. A couple quick segments, and we'll wrap it up. You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. A couple of quick segments. Coach, I want to point out special teams, and in particular your punter, Brian Anger, who is turning out to be worth the third-round pick, by all accounts, and two undrafted rookies as your gunners. We've talked about Kevin Elliott and Antoine Blake. Devin Hester was a non-factor as a return man yesterday, and that is really saying something.
That is. I thought our cover team was outstanding yesterday. You know, that'll go probably not talked about very, very much, but that guy is, I think he's the best that's ever returned kicks in NFL history.
Just in terms of touchdowns, it certainly does.
Yes. I mean, he is such – I mean, you watched him. I mean – the things he did, even though he didn't get many yards, you could tell there was a threat of if he just gets a crease. And our guys did an outstanding job. And Brian punted the ball well, got us changed field position, which he's done for us all year long. And then our two gunners, Blake and Elliott, they're hard to block. And
they're undrafted rookies, too. Are you surprised at how quickly they've picked up that role?
Well, it's a mentality to be out there. And a lot of times you got to beat two guys that are sitting there trying to choke you all the way down the sideline, throw you into people, hold you, do whatever they can. And these two guys just are so determined to get down to the ball carrier. It's impressive to watch.
And they were not drafted. I mean, you went looking specifically for these guys, did you not?
Well, we want guys – when we're signing free agents after the draft, we're looking for people that can come in and compete. Not we just don't want bodies to come in and fill numbers and spots. We're looking for people that can compete to make our roster. And if they can – a lot of the times the only way they can prove their worth is on special teams. And these guys have done that. They did it in the preseason, caught your eye, because they may not get as many reps catching the ball or being a defender, a safety like Antoine Blake did. The only way they can make their money is special teams and have a wow factor about them. These two guys have been that way since they stepped on campus. They listen to what we said. They're still listening. And they got a future at some point to step into a role offensively and defensively based on what they've done special teams.
You know, when you have a game like that for your coverage units against a player like that, it has to give you a degree of confidence to be able to do some different things.
Well, yeah, it did. And I think we set a standard yesterday for what the way we covered on Devin Hester. I don't expect anything less from our guys because they'll see it on tape tomorrow, and we will really show them and emphasize the coverage, the lanes, the discipline. I mean, it was so well done to keep him contained. That was so important. So I think we set a standard yesterday that we're going to try to maintain.
All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back with one more segment with head coach Mike Mularkey here on Jaguars Radio. Okay, a couple minutes left with the head coach here, and then you have a busy week. But are you going to take some time? Does your staff take some time?
Yeah, we're going to take...
You said a day earlier. I thought you
No, I think they're going to get a couple days. I think it's important. They need to maintain balance with their family. They need some time. It's very grueling. We need to take a break, especially some of the assistants with their families. They got some have...
It's a grind. This season is a grind.
It is, but they need to be around their families too,
and recharge their batteries,
especially with their
here.
Kids that they don't spend a lot of time with during the season. So it's very important. I think like I've said it before. If you're happy at home, you're a much better coach in here. And I think it's important that during this time, because it's a grind. We got 11 weeks coming up, and hopefully more that we got to be fresh for.
I don't get the sense that you're going to let this sit on your shoulders for 2 weeks.
Well,
I mean, the gravity.
It's hard for me to say right this minute because it's sitting on them.
Right.
I'm going to try to get over it, and when I do, take a night and take my wife, go somewhere and catch up with her for a little bit. I don't want this to be a negative for our night out. So that's important to me.
Well, and I'm not trying to suggest that you're not taking it with a full gravity, but what I sense though is that your plan is there. And you're going forward with the plan and not going to let this shake you in any way, shape, or form, or be the driving force in what you do the next 2 weeks. The plan is the driving force.
That's correct.
Not knee-jerk, no reaction,
no,
proactive.
No.
You're out there doing what
no,
you need to
do. No, that's the staff's whole mentality. That's the way we're handling it. And we're anxious to get the players in here tomorrow and get to work again. And I think the sooner we get out there and start working with them again, it does – helps us move forward.
So what do you say to these people who are listening, the fans who were in the stands yesterday, who are still frustrated, who are still, you know, gnawing at their fingernails about another game that they didn't like?
Well, I say this. Just know that inside this building, this team is sticking together. They're frustrated as well, but they're together. They're going to stay together. They're going to do everything they can to bring wins to this. And we need their support. We need them to stick with us. And go through the hard times with us, because they'll remember these when the good times do come for this football team. And it's easier said than done, but I just think if they know that our team is handling it that way inside and relying on each other and then really relying on our fans to be there for us, then I think, when it all comes together, it'll be a great thing for all of us.
You've talked a lot tonight about confidence and about things going your way. We talked about the dominoes. They've kind of gone against you. They did yesterday in the fourth quarter. What can one win do in terms of taking that momentum and going the other way?
Well,
I mean, can it build the confidence you're talking about? Can one win in Oakland get things rolling?
Sure it can. Sure it can. I mean, that's what it did back in 04 when we got the one. We got six in a row and dominantly beat teams. It can. It makes everybody a little more confident. It makes the preparation, just more energy. We just got to get that win on the road here coming up, and a lot of the good things will come from it.
Right,
and but we got to play really good football. We'd like to see how we can play as a team for 60 minutes and see what happens.
And I'm sure everyone who's listening agrees, and I'm sure the players want to see it as well because they work so hard all week long to get ready for a game, and breakdowns are reflective of them.
Right, and I know people are frustrated, but you can't imagine how it is for players and coaches that have spent the hours away from their families and time to have results like that. So we're doing everything we can to change those results for everybody. And it's important for us that those players are successful, and they know that, and that's not going to change.
Have a good bye week, Coach. Hope you get a lot done, and we'll talk next
week, Brian,
in advance of the Raiders.
Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Jaguars, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Monday night with more of the Mike Mularkey Show. Good night, everybody.